Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away for another Vaughan boundary.
Well, he's a great fieldsman. Philip Tuffnell, he often falls over and he's brought it into his batting as well.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Vaughney and Tuffers Cricket Club podcast brought to you by The Telegraph. Ben Wright, Michael Vaughan and Phil Tuffnell back with you ahead of England's five-match test series in India. It has been 12 long years since the touring side has achieved a series win in India. But the good news for England fans is that it was an Alastair Cook-led side that last did the trick back in 2012. What are the chances of McCullum and Stokes etching their names into history over the next 8 weeks? We'll be heading over to Hyderabad in a bit to check in with the Telegraph's chief cricket correspondent Nick Holt. He'll give us the latest news from both camps, including the absence of Virat Kohli, who has confirmed he'll miss the first two tests due to personal reasons. Morning, Mike. Morning, Phil. Except not morning for you, Mike, because you're in Australia, so it's a little bit later for you there.
Yeah, half ten at night, Tuesday evening in Sydney, down in, I call it Coogee, apparently it's called Coogee, but, you know, C-O-O-G, so I think it's pronounced OO. So I'm down in the Coogee down in Sydney. Had a nice day, bit of fitness, bit of walking. The Coogee to Bondi walk's always a pleasure.
You seem to be doing that walk every day. I was following you on social media, and you're doing that walk every day.
Well, Ben, the test match finishing... Well, it was the shortest test match of all time at the Adelaide Oval, 185 overs. So it's never been a shorter game. So I was released from Adelaide early. So I've been in Sydney, yeah, just hanging around, just doing a... I feel like I may as well do the walk because the days are quite long here. And Big Bash final on Wednesday night down here in Sydney. I'll do that. And then the West Indies got hammered at the Adelaide Oval. It's a real sad state that the West Indies test team are in debutants and... the lack of real quality in the side. It's not anything that they can do much about. It's just the system in the West Indies. The ICC probably taking their eye off the ball in terms of the wealth spreading across the game. There's been lots talking about that. But they now have to go and face the pink ball in Brisbane on a green top with the clouds around. I think there's a cyclone arriving in Brisbane. And Mitchell Starc, I kind of got sent. I think he averages 14 with the pink ball. So I don't think he's going to get any easy for the West Indies over here in Australia.
Mike, what about that knock? What was it for the Brown, for the Heat? Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, 140 off 57. He hit 12 sixes, 10 fours. From nowhere, he's only ever got 150 in Big Bash. And if you like, in the semi-final, he decides to go out and have a night out. He's an old school, Phil.
Yeah.
What would you describe it as?
Iffer.
I wouldn't say he's a farmer, but he is a farmer.
agricultural.
Oh, if it's in his arc,
it's off.
He gives it. He gives it the full Monty.
Good stuff.
And guys, obviously, we are building up to England's tour in India. Gets the juices flowing, doesn't it? A tour of India. Ashes Down Under is obviously a big one, but do you think touring India is above it? It's the sort of cricketing Everest.
I think it's the biggest challenge. for sure. Mm. I mean, endurance, atmospheres, everything that comes with touring India, pitches, skill sets, everything. You've got to be right on top of your game. Yeah, I think it probably is the biggest challenge. And if you can come away with winning a five-test series from India, I mean, it's a huge feather in your cap. I think it is probably a little bit trickier than Australia. What do you reckon, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, you think about that victory that England had there in 2012, and because the Ashes is always the pinnacle of our conversations in the UK, yeah. I have that victory in 2012 as possibly, in my time, the best overseas victory that England have ever had.
Yeah.
You know, in my time, I'm talking from the 90s through to the early 2000s. I mean, England won here in 2010-11, that's down under. And that was a great achievement. But that was when, you know, England were very, very good. The Australians were going for a bit of transition. In 2012, for England to win in India, it's the only time India have been beaten.
Yeah.
In the last however many years at home. Yeah, it's the hardest challenge. You just know over five matches. I guess in three matches, you could get a bit lucky. In five matches, there's no luck required. It's purely about the skill levels. England have got an incredible task. And I'm intrigued. I mean, I've been in Australia for 2 months and we've had a Pakistan series. We've got the West Indies series taking place now. Everyone is talking about this England versus India series because of Bazball. And how are the Bazballers go and play their aggressive, flamboyant, brave cricket on spinning wickets against an Indian side that we just know are very, very difficult to beat at home. I'm intrigued to know how the Bazballers are going to go over the few weeks.
Yeah, so that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Do you think Bazball can work in India?
I think for this England team, it's the way that they can play and India are favourites by a decent margin. But I think the way that England have played in the last 18 months, if you go back to when it started, they then went to Pakistan. They won there. They went to New Zealand, won that first test, should have won the second. They made them follow on and didn't quite get it over the line. The first day against Australia, Ez Baston blew the Aussies away. I thought England were a better team in the Ashes series. Didn't quite obviously win, but I thought they were a better team. I do think for this England group, I think it's the best way that they can play.
Yeah,
ultra aggressive. And I'll ask Phil, what's the riskiest way of playing? Is it trying to play the attritional way to bat 120 overs to get 350?
Yep.
Or is it playing the England Bazball way, which is to basically say we're going to score at 4.55 runs an over and try and bat 60, 65 overs to get 300, 330 on a wicket that we know in India it's going to spin. Yeah. I just think the way that this team have played and the DNA of this side is to try and score at 4.55. So it's basically saying, we don't need to bat as long. We're going to take more risk.
Yeah.
But I think for this group of England players, I think it's almost a safer way, if you know what I mean. If this England group try to play attritionally with men round the bat and try and nurdle it for 2.3s, 2.4s and over, I think they'd get out anyway.
Yeah. You've always got, Mike, you've always got your name on one of them when it starts spinning and the likes of Jadeja and Ashwin are going to be bowling. So I think you're right. But I think then also, they've got to just think about conditions as well. It's not going to be going, sideways from ball one. If England win a couple of tosses and bat first, they've got to think to themselves, come on, let's get ourselves a score. Let's get ourselves a score. So don't give it away from that. But I make you right. I think the best way about them going about doing that is to go out there and look to be positive, but without being reckless. You know, the best way to put pressure back onto a spin bowler. I mean, we're forgetting about Jasprit Bumrah here and Shami and all that. So they've got to get over the seamers as well. But the best way of putting pressure on a spin bowler is to come at him, and that is for sure. But you can't come at him reckless. You've got to find your shots. You've got to find your areas. And you've got to then put the pressure back onto the field and create gaps and manipulate the field and what have you. So I think that England will play the same way, but it's just whether they can just temper that by just sort of getting hold of the situation they're in at the same time.
Yeah, if you go back to the Ashes, the first couple of games, you go back to Ez Baston, then you go to Lords, they played so aggressively in them, and they almost allowed, you go back to the bouncer theory at Lords where England just kept on playing the pull shot, get out. That cost them the test. You go back to Ez Baston in the second innings when Nathan Lyon was bowling around the wicket. He didn't have any fielders around the bat, and they got out of Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Now, you go back to the late end of the Ashes series, particularly at the Oval, Old Trafford, where they played great and the field was spread, and England just played normal cricket shots, and they were scoring at fives without taking any risk. Now, I'll be intrigued to see what India do. Will India keep the field up, or will they spread the field? Now, if they look, England will take risks, and if the risks work and they get the field spread, my belief is, are they smart enough to realise they've taken the risk and then they can just knock it?
Yeah.
And if they do, if they can get 400s, 450s. If they continuously say high risk against Axel Patel, Ashwin, Jadeja, Bumrah, they will continue. They will get bowled out for 250 continuously.
Yeah,
and that won't be enough against India.
And Mike, how key is Root in striking that balance? Because he's obviously the best player of spin.
Absolutely,
and we got a sense in the early Bazball that he was trying to be as aggressive as all the other batsmen. What we want is Root playing like Root, right?
Ben, I actually going to come. I want Root to play Root ball.
Root ball, yeah.
Root ball, is averaging over 50 in Test cricket playing root ball, which is the way that Joe Root's played.
Yeah.
Now, Joe doesn't need to play like Ben Duckett because Ben Duckett will be ultra aggressive.
Yeah.
He'll be reverse sweeping. You know, I think Johnny Bairstow doesn't need to play much differently than he plays. You know, when he got, I think it was Nathan Lyon at Edgbaston, he played that reverse sweep at LBW. I was like, Johnny, what are you doing? You don't need to do that. So if England can have two or three of them just playing normally, you know, you go back to when England won that first test last time that they toured there, and Joe Root got a double century. Yes, the pitch was flat. It didn't do a great deal, but Joe just played Joe's way.
Yeah.
It was on the back of him playing great in Sri Lanka. You could argue that Joe Root's England's greatest ever player is spin. You could argue, probably with Graham Gooch. And the reason why he is because he knows how to occupy the crease, rotate the strike, and he's got options to hit the boundary when he needs to. Now, if he takes the ultra risk and tries to play the bath ball way and he gets out playing too aggressively, I would say he just doesn't need to do that. If Rooty plays root ball, I think he can be the glue. And then around that, you're gonna have five crackers. You're going to have Zach Crawley playing shots, Ben Duckett playing shots. Ollie Plote's a bit of a, you know, he likes to get on with it as well. And he dances down to the spinners, which is fine. But I just think the number four in Joe Root, he just needs to play the way that he's always played. And if he does that, he could get the big scores and he could be that kind of solid glue for the team. And if he is, as Phil says, and they win the right tosses, they can be very, very competitive in India.
Yeah, and also, Mike, in India, if you get off to a good start and you're, let's say, 100 for one, and then someone comes, you know, as you say, dancing down the track, gets a good one, and you're 100 for two, that can so quickly, such a good position in India, can all of a sudden, and if everyone keeps coming in and running down and missing it, you can be 150 for seven. So they've got to realise when they've got into that position of strength. And as you say, if you keep bowling the spinner, it's hot, it's hard work out there. It's hard work for the Indian spinners as well. You know, I just seem to think, when I've seen England play and bat and sides bat against India, they're such masters of their own conditions. But when you get in, do not give it away. You know, and that is sometimes by the sweeps, the reverse sweeps, that's fine and being positive. But then also sometimes it's just about sucking up a little bit of pressure, getting over that period and knocking it around. Next thing you know, you've got yourself a decent score and you're right in the game. Very difficult to get a decent score in India of, let's say, 300s for 400.
They're going to have to realise the gears, and they're going to have to realise they will take risks early because that's the way England play. But once they've taken that risk...
Yeah.
Are they going to be smart enough to realise that they don't have to take more ultra risks?
Absolutely.
Just knock it around. Do you know what you do then? The Ashwins and Jadeja, they'll go, oh, you're going to play instead. We'll bring the field back in. And then you go again. Then you go again. You go over the top and you play your sweeps and reverse sweeps and you get them spread again. And, you know, when England won there in 2012, Pearson played the most incredible knocking one by. It was ultra. It was the Bazball way.
Alistair Cook did it though.
Graham Swan, yeah, but Graham Swan and then Monty Palliser. But Alistair Cook was that attritional glue.
Yeah,
he was the glue of that team. And then they won in Calcutta. It was a different style England performance, a bit more attritional. Jimmy Anderson got it reverse swinging. I don't think you win in India over five Test matches just playing one way. No. I don't think Bazball will win a five-match series in India playing just the Bazball way. I think they're going to have to go up and down the gears and play smart at times.
Yeah. So on that, I mean, the big news coming out of the England cap in recent days is obviously that Harry Brook has headed home for personal reasons. Now, he's a great player. It's a big blow. Dan Lawrence has been called up to replace him. And there are question marks over whether Brook will rejoin the tour. But does it perversely mean that the starting lineup might be a bit more balanced and will have that range of gears that you're talking about?
Well, I mean, Harry Brook, for a start off, probably the second best player of spin behind Joe Root. So he will be a miss, that's for sure. But I mean, it does get rid of that awkward conversation with Johnny Bairstow, doesn't it? Because Folks is going to keep, Johnny Bairstow's going to bat probably five or six or whatever. And that. But Johnny Bairstow, listen, he's played in Hyderabad, hasn't he? You know, he's beat some of these England sides. You know, they've played in these sort of situations. They've played at these grounds. It's a shame. Harry Brook, I think, played at Hyderabad as well, didn't he? So he would know these situations. So Harry Brook going home is a loss for England. But I kind of make you right that it does slightly just enable a bit more of a balanced side to be played. But I mean, big loss for England.
Yeah, I think he's a huge loss, Ben. I just think Brook, I mean, you go back to Pakistan, or I would say Pakistan didn't have a world-class spinner. But the way that he played on the Pakistan wickets was magnificent. It always happens, you know, when you've got that kind of dubious selection decision to make, Johnny Bairstow over Harry Brook or Ben Folks, who's going to be playing? Wow. Something always seems to be the case. It's obviously a hugely unfortunate incident, but I do think you need your best keeper. You know, when you're out in India and the ball's spinning around, your keeper's more often than not stood up to some, even to the seamers at times. You have to take your chances. I've been down in Australia and Pakistan. They could have beaten Australia here if they'd have caught here in Australia. Pakistan could have caused a huge shock down under. And catching is becoming more and more important, particularly particularly in India where. You know, you can't give a Rohit Sharma a chance. You can't give a Shubman Gill a chance. So England's catching is going to be absolutely pivotal. I think they're right in going with the best keeper. And I also actually think Ben Folks is a nice style batter.
Yeah, for this absolutely.
Because he plays, you know, we're talking about going up and down in the gears. You know, if Joe can play sensibly at four and you've got Ben Folks coming in at seven, that's a little bit more sensible. Yeah. And in and around, you've got... Well, I think Ben Stokes is a sensible player. He plays the situation really well as well. But, you know, in and around this Bazball approach, I've always looked at this England side and thought, if you can get one or two, when I think it was Ben last year, he said, Alistair Cook won't get into this team because he don't play the right way. Absolute nonsense. Alistair Cook is absolutely the style of player that England need.
Yeah.
And maybe Ben Folks at seven is absolutely the style of batter as well as the keeper that England needs. So, maybe they stumbled across what could be the right 11 for England.
Yeah, he's a more measured player at seven as well, isn't he? You know what I mean? And in keepers, they're always good players. They're always good players of spin. I think did he get a couple of hundreds in Sri Lanka? Well, he certainly got 100 in Sri Lanka. So he knows his way around how to play spin on spinning pitches. All wicket keepers do. You've got to play the keeper. There's going to be a lot of spin bowled. There's going to be different sort of degrees of spin. The ball's going to be bouncing, the ball's going to be keeping low. You've got to be fit, you've got to be agile, and you've got to take the catches and the stumpings. One thing about Harry, I'm disappointed that he has gone home. I mean, obviously we feel for him and I hope everything's okay and what have you, but I mean, he is sort of the Bazball poster boy, isn't he, really?
He's
sort of come in, you know, this is the way we look to do it sort of thing. So yeah, it's going to be a great shame that he's not going to be there to test his skills.
Phil, can I ask you a question about Jack Leach?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not too bothered about England preparing in Abu Dhabi. I think that there's a performance centre there. You can prepare your pitches. I think a lot of these teams that go overseas now, you don't get the opposition. You don't get the pitch that you can play. And so I kind of get it. But Jack Leach has been out of the side for a long time. He's going to have to bowl a huge amount of overs in the next few weeks. He looks fit. But how hard is that as a spinner, knowing that, to be honest, for England to win in India, Jack Leach is going to have a magnificent tour.
Got to be top wicket taker, Mike.
How hard is that when you've not played any cricket to get thrown the ball and say, come on, Jack, bowl us 30 on day one. And by the way, you might need to bowl 15 on day two. And you might even have to bowl another 20 on day three. And do it again the week after.
Well, he's going to be throwing the ball, Mike, and he's almost going to be saying, well, come on. You know, I mean, people never say it, do they? They always say, come on, we're not going to be putting you against Jadeja, and so-and-so's not going up against, you know, against Ashwin. But you are, you know what I mean? So you've got to try and, first of all, get rid of that from your mind. But you're right. I mean, he hasn't played a lot of cricket. He's fine, and he's been doing it in the nets. You know, I'm sure he's been bowling in the nets and is ready, but it is going to be difficult. It's more of a, I don't think it's a fitness thing. I think it's more of a mental thing. And it's if he starts well, and as you know, Mike, you know, if you get off to a flyer and you get those first 10 or 15 overs in and you get into a good rhythm, you perhaps get a wicket or two, I think that all then comes flooding back. But what he's got to be careful if he's going around, I think that this is where Ben Stokes' captaincy is going to come into it a lot. Mm-hmm. When does he bowl the spinners? You know, are there different, you know, fields, you know, just to ease him into it a little bit and things like that. I think that's going to be crucial, how you manage the spin bowlers, because there's nothing worse as a spin bowler than, you know, the bowlers bowl three or four overs each and then you're throwing the ball and they go off and have a cruise round and it's sort of like, go on, lads, it's up to you.
So as a left-arm spinner yourself, the Bath ball way is to keep the field up, you know. And one of the reasons why Jack's had success under Ben's captaincy is that he's kept the field up, and that was when he was bowling really well, you know, and playing a lot of cricket. Would you advise Ben Stokes for the first spell or two, take your medicine, Ben, and don't try and be Baz bowling all the time, and just say to Jack Lee, just let him get into the first few overs. Maybe put mid off back.
Yeah.
Maybe put cover point on the boundary. Just let him get a few overs under his belt.
Yeah, they always, absolutely, especially when he's been out of Test cricket for so long. And I think Ben, I've been so impressed with Ben Stokes' captaincy so far. I think you have as well, Mike. You know what I mean? Is that not only does he sort of like know where all the positions are, which is good for a start, you know what I mean? But he also gets into the brain of the bowler a little bit as well, and he gives him a lot of confidence in that. So I think that that's going to be a huge part of how he manages his spin bowling. It's not like, come on, we're going to keep them all up, you just keep bowling and you keep getting whacked. That don't work over in India. You've got to move with the way that the batsmen are playing you as well. Right. And so that's going to be a big task for him. But I think Ben's up for it. He's a shrewd captain, but he knows the way a spin bowler is feeling as well. They always used to say to me, it's easier to bring them in as a spin bowler than to take them out. Because as soon as you start taking them out, you know, you start going, oh God, we're on top here a little bit. So give him a little bit of a breather, get him back into the feel of Test match cricket, and then you can go through your tactics.
And Phil, can I ask about the spinners that we've taken out there? Because obviously Jack Leach, once he was fit, he was a given. But the other spinners, we've got Rehan Ahmed out there, and then two uncapped finger spinners. We've got Tom Hartley and Shoaib Bashir, we understand, is having some trouble getting into the country, and we might talk to Holty about that when he's on a little bit later. But were you surprised they didn't pick, for example, Liam Dawson? I mean, I was just looking at his figures. He got 49 wickets in the county championship last year at 20. Hartley got 19 at nearly 45, plus Dawson was averaging 40 with the bat. Now, I know, you know, county championship in England, completely different to playing Test cricket in India, but do you think he deserved a shout? And what about Will Jackson, Liam Livingstone? They were obviously the spinning all-rounders in Pakistan.
Yeah, I think that Liam Dawson can feel a little bit hard done by. But this is this sort of Stokes and McCullum way, isn't it? They like to pick these sort of like guys and a little bit out of nowhere and give them a chance. The one attributes that they've both got is that they're both tall bowlers and they both look to run in and hit the pitch sort of like with the angle coming down. You don't need a lot of flight and guile in India. Look how Mike mentioned it in 2012, Monty and Swanee. They both run up, good pace, little bit of dip, but just sort of fire it in on that sort of like off stump, middle and off stump, and let the pitch do the work. So these two guys are those kind of bowlers. They've kind of picked a style of bowler more than perhaps looking at his stats of who does well. Like that Axel Patel. That Tom Hartley is a very similar kind of bowler to Axel Patel. Tall, you know, bit of a one-day bowler, will run up, hit your areas, and let the pitch do the work. So I think that they will play a part. Both of those, I've been hearing some great sort of like noises coming back from about Bashir as well. They might have fallen on just the right kind of blend there. I think that Rayhan will probably play, and I think so Jack Leach and Rayhan Ahmed with Joe Root doing a little bit of backup bowling for him. But it's just whether Ahmed will give you that control. If it's spin second innings, lovely. Give him his go. He's going to go for a few fours. He's going to bowl a few full tosses. He's going to bowl a few short balls, but he is going to get you those wickets. But you do need, in order to get to that position in India, you do need a little bit of holding. And if you're only playing two seamers, that, you know, that's going to be what they're doing in their thinking in their mind.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Ben Stokes's lack of bowling may cost England. Oh, you know, that third team option. I just think the balance looks so much better when Ben's bowling. But it doesn't surprise me that, you know, how many times are we going to mention that county stats are almost, I'm not saying they're irrelevant, but they are irrelevant. You're picking different players for international cricket. Do I think that Tom Hartley can win England the series in India on a debut series? Probably not. You know, I think it's too hard a task. You're going to the hardest place in the world to bowl to some of the best players of spin in the world. So I don't think if he gets again, we should be expecting him to win England the series. But can he do a roll and get to a three-for? And yeah, he can get a few runs. Look, it's the hardest challenge that a team can go and try and produce magic. You go back again to 2012, they had Graham Swann, who was world-class. Monty Panesar, as Phil mentioned, on spinning pitches. Where India got it wrong in 2012 when they were 1-0 up in the series. They went to Mumbai. No idea why they produced a ragamuffin there. No idea. If India play on flat wickets in this series that don't do a great deal for the spin, India win. I can guarantee India will win.
You mentioned that in your column. You mentioned that in your column this week. You said that India would be making a huge mistake if they prepare pitches that the spin from the get-go. It becomes a leveler, right?
Well, I'm just being honest. Jadeja's a better spinner than Jack Leach. Ashwin's undoubtedly, probably in the world of cricket, the best spinner.
Yeah. They don't need helpful wickets, is your point.
Axel Patel, again, he's probably better than Jack Leach. So they've got three spinners that are better than our spinners. They've got a batting unit that will lack Virat Kohli, but they've still got Shreyas Iyer, KL Rahul, Shubman Gill, Rohit Sharma. Jadeja, who's getting double hundreds. Ashwin will come in at number eight and get hundreds. You know, they've got better batters. They've got seamers in the likes of Bumrah, Siraj. Shami won't play the start, but probably play at the back end, who in Indian conditions are better than England seamers.
Yeah.
Now, why would you prepare any wickets that would bring an opposing side into play on the toss? You know, India are making a huge mistake if they do that. If they play a good pitch and it's a flat wicket, I just think India win. But if they're allowing them back into the game because of the surface, I think England will be licking their lips. I honestly do. I think they'll be licking their lips. And, you know, you go back to, you know, Joe Root in the last tour, that Ahmedabad pitch. I mean, it was a shocker. We've prepared pitches in the UK that haven't been great. And there's other pitches around the world before the Indians start lambasting us. But that pitch back in Ahmedabad was a dust ball. It was a beach. Joe Root got 5 for 8, as you mentioned. Now, if they prepare pitches like that, I think England have a chance.
Anything could happen.
If they prepare pitches that are there to last 4 and 5 days, I honestly think England will get beaten. And I think they'll get beaten quite convincingly because the quality that I mentioned will come through. Yeah. England will be hoping, and I've seen the press conference that, you know, they're saying it's going to spin on day one. If it is, I think England have got a sniff because they bat first and they bat with half a brain and play aggressively at the right times and with a bit of smartness, and they get 350, 400, which you can do batting first in India, they have a great chance of causing a shock. But the quality from, and I think it was in the World Cup final, Mohammed Kaif said that the best team on paper didn't win the World Cup final because he was saying India had the best team on paper.
Yeah.
Now, the best team on paper in this test series is India. India should win this series, but England and this Baz ball approach is hard to play against. And if India aren't prepared and aren't realistic to understand that this method has actually worked for England, it kind of shocked a lot of teams around the world in the last 18 months.
Oh, did it?
It could shock it could shock India. It really could. And I think England's best chance of winning is this week. I really do. I think this is the week that England can cause a shock. There's no Virat. And I just think England come out and play aggressively, play with the bravery. And I keep, and Baz McCullum's right. They might not be the best team on paper, but he said he wants them to be the bravest team to play Test cricket. If they do that, they could cause a shock this week.
We're joined now by Nicholas Holt. Nick Holt.
You can call me Nicholas if you like. You can call me Nicholas if you like. I don't mind.
I'll call you Nicholas if you're poorly behaved, but we'll go with Nick. But you're in India. You're in Hyderabad. I mean, I suppose the first thing is, have you had a chance to have a look at the pitch and what's the weather like?
I've been here 11 hours, actually. We went straight to the ground, more or less. The weather's pretty pleasant, actually. It's winter here, so it's... It was about 20, 22 degrees at the ground. I mean, it will get up to about 28, probably, the heat of the day, but it's not unbearable. And there's no real humidity compared to other parts of India. So that shouldn't really be too much of an issue for England. The pitch, they watered it this morning, but they left it open to the elements today. It's very bare at both ends. Rahul Dravid in his press conference said he expects it to turn. Well, they're surprised. And we were chatting to some of the England guys, and one of the I won't name him, but one of the very senior men said it's so difficult reading pitches in India. So so we wait and see with bated breath what the team will be. I suspect they'll go with two seamers and three spinners, including Root.
Was he being ironic?
No, being serious.
Okay.
Whether it's going to spin from ball one or ball two, you reckon? That's the difficult thing in judging.
Yeah, I think they don't think, England don't think it's going to be an absolute sand pit. You know, I think they don't think it's going to be like some of the pitches they played on the during the last tour, which they believe probably would bring them into the game a little bit more, would bring their spinners into the game a bit more.
Okay, well, that's a worry. And have you spoken to McCullum? Have you got a sort of readout of what the camp was like in the UAE, how optimistic he's feeling?
Yeah, I mean, he spoke yesterday, actually, before we arrived, but it was his usual positive self, you know, talking about this as being a massive opportunity for the players. India's like a second home to him, so he knows conditions actually really well. So I was being a bit unfair there, but he wasn't actually looking at the pitch today, but he scored a double 100 in Hyderabad. I mean, he knows the conditions better than most. So, he was talking up the players, spinners, everybody, being his infectious kind of self, really.
And how about Stokes? Have you got sight of him? I know that McCullum was sort of talking up his fitness, saying he looked like a greyhound. Have you seen him? Is he walking with a limp, or is he fully fit?
No, he looks really, really trim. Actually, he was doing a lot of sprint shuttles by the side of the pitch this morning, batting in the nets. Looked very, very fit, and I've seen him for a long time because actually the knee operation has allowed him to get back to training, and he loves training. So he will not bowl in this series. I think that's pretty much understood by him and England. So we won't see that until the summer. But yeah, he looks weird. And to be fair, they all do. I don't know whether the whip has been cracked or whether they just realise that, you know, they had to knuckle down a bit more after the Ashes in the summer, but they do all look pretty trim and really fit.
Holty, tough as here, mate. What's the atmosphere like over in India? Is it building nicely, or is it a little bit low-key, sort of now Kohli sort of saying he's not playing for the first two tests?
I think that's definitely going to have a little bit of an impact. I don't know what the crowd will be like. That will be interesting. The stadium is in the city. That does help probably bring some of the crowds in. A lot of the World Cup awnings were still up at the ground, so there's no real sense that a massive test series is about to start. But we've got the BCCI Cricket Awards here tonight, actually at this hotel, and that will be beamed all across India. That's probably going to be the sort of launch. Some of the England guys have been invited and will be there. Kohli's story was obviously leading back page of the Hindu this morning and the Times of India. I think it will certainly build as a series, as when the Test series starts, and probably when Rohit talks tomorrow.
Yeah.
Holty, on England's side, you mentioned two seamers. Which of the two seamers do you expect? And the batting order, what do you think England will go in terms of the batting lineup?
Well, I think Pope will bat three, Johnny will bat five, Stokes six, Folk seven. I think that you know, with the obviously Crawley, Duckett and Root in their usual positions. Suspect they'll go Anderson and Wood. Wood spoke today. It's not always a guarantee that they're going to play, but it's usually a sign. Sometimes they throw a curveball, not by putting them up and lulling us into a false sense of security. But I suspect they'll go Wood and Anderson. Jimmy bowled well in the nets today. He looked good. He looked sharp. He was beating the bat. And so, yeah, I think that'll probably be the team that Stokes probably feels most comfortable with.
But hold on, I mean, you mentioned the fitness, and maybe it was World Cup Ashes where, you know, many pointed the finger at the lack of England's kind of professionalism. I've seen a picture of Jimmy Anderson, and I mean, Baz mentioned that Ben Stokes looks like a greyhound. Jimmy looks like he could beat Ben Stokes in a greyhound race. He looks lean.
Yeah. He do. Honestly, they all do. It's not that they were big before, but you know they have definitely trimmed down.
Yeah, are they on tablets or is it juice diets? What have they been doing?
I suspect they're laying off some of the beers. I think that might be one of the things that's been going on a bit. I think that they've been perhaps cutting down on some of those unnecessary carbs. Some would say the one thing they will not want for here though is food, because they're the chef. They've got their chef with them last night.
Nice.
First night, he made a big impression. He did a carvery with roast potatoes and Yorkshire pudding for all the lads. First night.
What a shout. We had Bob Bennett, our manager, in the change room making corned beef sandwiches when we was over there in 92. Unbelievable.
Oh, that's the tin corned beef cake.
It was. Pot noodles and corned beef we had in the change room for lunch.
Just on the chef, I mean, I'm out here in Australia, and apparently in the World Cup, there was about six of the Australian players. They took their own chef as well. It wasn't a group, like the whole team taking a chef. There was about six Australian players. So this kind of, I think they got a bit of stick a couple of weeks ago, England announcing they were taking the chef. It is just the norm. The Aussies in the World Cup, they won the World Cup. They also had a chef in India.
But no, one of the Indian players had two chefs at the World Cup, just for a bit of one-upmanship.
Oh, really? Must
have had a pastry chef.
And which player was that?
I can't actually remember who it was, but I think it may have been Hardik Pandya.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, that's enough. That's it. Hardik Pandya, you got two chefs.
And Holty, have you heard what the latest is with Shoaib Bashir? Because we understand that he had visa issues getting from the UAE and into India.
Yeah, the situation has escalated for him and for England, because they had hoped that he'd arrive today. But it turns out that he's now having to go from the UAE to the UK to get his visa stuck in his passport and approved, presumably at the Indian High Commission in London, before joining the England tour. And they don't expect him probably to arrive much before the weekend. So obviously he's not going to play in the first test. Probably won't play in the second test either for that reason, because he won't have had much time to acclimatise, and they'll be setting their pattern with the team. Ben Stokes talked about it today, you know, frustration as a captain, not being able to pick a player who would impress him in the nets in the UAE. You wouldn't rule it, put it past these guys to throw him in. You know, that's the kind of thing that they do. And also, you know, Ben was just feeling really sorry for him, that his first experience of playing for England is this, going on an England tour and being sent home. They announced the squad on December the 11th.
And is there any indication from the England team about what the problem was, why there was a problem specifically with Shoaib Bashir's visa?
Well, it's because of his Pakistan heritage. Now, Rayan Ahmed has obviously got Pakistani heritage as well, but the difference between the two is that Rayan was on standby for the World Cup. So England sorted out his visa for the World Cup. Because he wasn't called up, he could still use that visa to come here. So he's not had the same problem. But Shoaib Bashir, they obviously started the process, presumably as soon as they named the squad, and they've still not been sorted out. And yeah, he's having to fly back to the UK.
That does seem like an absolutely extraordinary situation.
I think it's outrageous. I honestly do. Colin just said that the squad was announced on December the 11th. This is a young guy that's been picked for his country for the first time. He's played a little bit of cricket for Somerset. He's an exciting talent. He goes to Abu Dhabi on the proviso that he's going to do 10 days preparation. He gets on a plane and he's going to go to India, potentially to play his first test in Hyderabad. He bowls well in Abu Dhabi. And then the day that the plane's leaving to go to India, he gets told, I'm sorry, he can't get on. He has no idea that this is going to be the case while he's in Abu Dhabi training, preparing, impressing the England management. Whispers are that he's impressed so much that he could have had a chance of playing his first test match in Abu Dhabi. I don't know whether that's right or wrong, but I think it's absolutely outrageous. This tour party was picked on December the 11th. And you've got a young guy now that has to now fly back to the UK to sort it out. What is that doing for the young kid? You know, this is happening quite a bit. It happened to Usman Khawaja when he was flying to India as well. I'll probably keep my counsel dry at the minute, but I just think it's absolutely outrageous that a young player has gone through that and he goes to Abu Dhabi and he sees a group of his teammates getting on a plane and he can't get on the plane with them. Madness.
Yeah, yeah.
And seems a bit tough on the young fella.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good to hear from Holsey there, but seems like a bit of a mess with the issue around Bashir's visa. What were your guys' thoughts on that?
Just feel sorry for the lad, don't you, Mike? You know, his first experience of, you know, he would have built this up in his mind, you know, the excitement levels would have been going up and up and up, and then it's just sort of like, oh, blimey, what's going on here? His mind must be all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, I just can't understand it. These tour parties were picked on December the 11th. So he's then got on a plane with the team to go and prepare in Abu Dhabi. And as the team are getting on the plane to go to India, he's not allowed to go on. Then he's probably kept in Abu Dhabi, thinking he'll get sorted, he'll go to India from Abu Dhabi. And now he's going to fly back to London.
Yeah.
I think it's outrageous.
Yeah, it's definitely a mess. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you guys, I mean, obviously there's been a lot of talk about the future of Test cricket in recent months. So do you think there's a chance that this could be the last time we see England playing a 5-test series in India?
Ooh, that's a good question. I did an interview recently. I think the world game has to accept that and understand that we love Test cricket. You know, we're all Test cricket diehards. But, you know, the way that the wealth is spread around the world in terms of the ICC handouts, you look at the West Indies here, they've come here to Australia with 7 debutants. They played 3 in the first Test match. The majority of the West Indies players understandably choosing franchise 2020 leagues over Test cricket because that's where they can earn their money. Now, until the ICC start handing out the money more fairly, and if the ICC can't trust that they send money to these parts of the world and it's going to be spent wisely, well, surely they have enough power and enough personnel to be able to position their own people around the world so they know exactly where the money's being spent. I honestly think until all the boards around the world come together and identify a few months of a window where Test cricket is only played. So I believe that there should be a three-month window every single year, and you can decide upon where cricket is played around those 3 months. It could be 6 weeks in England, 6 weeks in Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, India, wherever it is. I'm not asking for a great deal. I don't think we'll ever get to 5 months and 7 months. I think 3 months of purely test match cricket where every single team, and I want two tiers, so six of the top six in Division Two, and you all play 10 test matches a year, and that's both men's and women's. And around that time, there's no franchise leagues around the world. There's no white ball cricket. It's just the world watching test match cricket. If they really want to save test match cricket, I think that's the way to go about it. If they don't want to save test match cricket, come out and tell us. Except that the game's moved on to white ball cricket. Don't keep saying to us, test match cricket's the pinnacle and do F all about it. Because as we sit here, in the next few years, there'll be more and more New Zealand cricketers that will leave the test arena because they don't get paid enough in comparison terms to England, Australia and India. We're already seeing it in Pakistan. Harish Rauf decided to not play test cricket over here. We're seeing it in the West Indies. All the Bangladesh, Afghanistan, all these other teams around the world, Sri Lanka, all their players are choosing the white ball game because they can earn a lot more money. Until the powers that be, and it starts at the top of the ICB, do something about it. And the way that they can stop players, I'm not, players have the right to choose where they want to play. But if you had a three-month test match window, there's no white ball cricket to play in that window, I will guarantee more and more people would play test match cricket for a little bit longer. And there'll be more of a chance that in 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years' time, we'll be sat here on this podcast saying, isn't Test cricket great? Because more and more players are playing and we've got these windows where we're purely focused on test match cricket. If nothing happens, I will guarantee in a few years' time, we'll be sitting here going, it'd be like the Ryder Cup, England playing Australia, England playing India, because the other countries, look at what's happened to South Africa. South Africa have decided to keep all their best players at home for their T20 league, and they're sending a second team to play New Zealand because they want to look after their own backyard to make their own money because they're not trusting that they're going to get the handouts from the ICC. The ICC are the only operation that can save. We can't. We can talk about it, but it's the ICC and the boards around the world that are the ones that can really save it. Yeah. Are they committed to doing that? That's what I'll ask them.
Otherwise, in 10 years' time, little Johnny's going to be going up and, you know, Mummy, Daddy, what was that? What was that game that you all used to play?
Correct.
You know, but yeah, it, when it lasted 5 days, he'll be gone in 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. And do you know what, Phil?
Yeah.
If that's the way that they want it to go, come out and tell us.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not brave enough to do that, are they?
Don't say to us, Test cricket's the pinnacle. And I'll also say, the more I watch Test cricket, it should be a 4-day game. Because not many test matches go to the 5th day. And when they say, oh, you don't get the overs in, it's a very simple procedure. Make them bowl the overs. You know, most countries are run by pay-per-view subscription services. So it's a sporting channel. You know, if you went to a 50-over game and in the second innings of a run chase, you don't see the players walk off at 6 o'clock after 42 overs. You
don't do that. We've got 5 more overs left.
But Phil, it's true. In Test cricket, there's 8 overs left. They fuck off. I'm like, it's the only format, Test cricket, that continuously has bad light issues, ball issues, don't bowl the over issues, continuously being talked about as that we need something to happen to save it, and nothing happens.
Yeah. Powers of being need to get a grip. How do you think the 3 month window would work? Would that be continuous? So, you know, 3 months in a block, or were you broken up? Would it be in the summer in the Northern Hemisphere 1 year and then the summer of the Southern Hemisphere the next year?
I just think you've got to be very flexible. I think now I wouldn't be against, for instance, the Boxing Day Test match is a huge game at the MCG, gets a huge amount of people. Obviously, that happens every year. Why can't you play another Boxing Day test in Australia? Just why can't India play Pakistan at the SCG on Boxing Day? You know, in our summer, why is it that, you know, we could be playing an Ashes series? Why couldn't another series be happening in the UK? You know, I see all these other sports that travel the world. They have like these weekends of festivals. You know, the NRL are going to Vegas. What a trip that is, by the way. Going to Vegas. Cricket and Test cricket in particular has to think out of the box. You know, there's areas of the world. So Bangladesh plays Sri Lanka in a Test match. No one goes to watch. But it's still on television, so the product's still there. You know, could Bangladesh play Sri Lanka down at Somerset or at Bristol? You know, I'll guarantee you'll get 3,000 or 4,000 people. It'll be 3,000 or 4,000 people more than you get in Bangladesh and Sri Lanka. That's all, yeah, but it's not home conditions. But Test cricket has to think out of the box to make it survive. If it carries on being the way that it has been in our time, it's gone. It's disappeared. And we'll be horribly talking about a great game that has done nothing to protect itself. And it's just died over many, many years because it has. Yeah. You know, I've always said it's like a grade two listed building, Test match cricket. No one dare do anything about it. You know, it's now time to go to the players and say, look, we've got to change the windows. You got to let us have some different trendy windows.
I want a nice swimming pool.
Yeah, those kind of, the kind of tiles that you have on the grates. We've got it. We need a flatter roof. You got to let us have a roof terrace. Come on, it's 2024.
Right, that's all for today. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Phil. And a big thanks to Nick Holt for joining us. The three of us will be here every week throughout the series as England look to overcome arguably the toughest challenge in cricket and win away in India. Along the way, we'll be joined by some top guests and we'll be regularly checking in with Holsey. So if you're new to the podcast, welcome aboard and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes over the next 8 weeks. But for now, until next time, goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.